Hello, and welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for this message. For more information on Celebration Church or to give online, visit us at celebrationedmonton.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, I've got a question before we jump in today. How many of you have ever had the sanity testing experience called putting together IKEA furniture? Yeah, hello. Or IKEA anything. It's also called death by IKEA, is how I lovingly like to refer to it. And it's, you know, if you've ever gone to the IKEA showroom, it's like, I think the fact that it looks so minimalist, it's like a square and four straight legs. It's like, how hard could this be to put it together? It's just straight boards. How hard is it to put together a cubed shelf? It should be easy. You know, or maybe the fact that you can take an entire living room, all the living room furniture you could ever need in home in your van. Like, I think it kind of overrides common sense. You're like, I can fit my whole living room in my van. I should easily be able to put it together. And you know, it all starts out good. We kind of start out looking like the happy IKEA man. How many of you are familiar with the happy IKEA man? He's like, oh, this looks great. What's crazy is all of the instructions that you look, he's smiling really big. They never show him as, you know, you really are. You know, you start out like this and then you end up looking like this. Whereas it's like, what was I thinking? Like, why? It's, you know, what am I doing this? And it's because it starts out so good. But then all of a sudden, it's like there's missing parts. Or there's missing instructions. Or there's instructions that make zero sense in the translation to English from whatever other language they've been translated in. See, it might start out in Sweden, but they're made in China, I think. And then it's somewhere lost in the translation like three times. And so it starts out good, but then you end up with this. Where's our painful girl? She's like bent over in pain. Yes, how many of you can write? Can't you just feel the pain? It's like, no. That sums up the IKEA furniture experience. And if you work, there's so much emotion communicated in that picture. It is so funny. If you want a really good laugh, you just have to Google IKEA furniture fails. It's so funny. And some of it's a little bit too obscene, can't be used in a Sunday morning message, but it's kind of one of those things. This is funny, but I probably shouldn't be laughing. But there, if you work for IKEA, I apologize. I am not meaning to diss IKEA. I have IKEA furniture at home that actually looks nice. It's put together properly, but it's just kind of saying that's the way it goes. But here it is. There's so many things about the IKEA furniture. And sometimes, have you ever felt like your life is like an epic IKEA furniture fail? Have you ever felt like that? That your life was a piece of IKEA furniture? And I love what someone once said. They said, my life is a lot like IKEA furniture with missing instructions. I'll get it together eventually, but it won't ever feel quite right. How many of you can relate? It's like, I feel like something's missing. And you know what? Unfortunately, I think too many people have resigned themselves to an epic fail IKEA furniture life. It's like, yeah, the parts are missing, so I just kind of used duct tape. Or the instructions were missing, so I just kind of made it up as I went. It's like, yeah, it's together, but it just doesn't quite feel right. Well, today, I want to show you your missing pieces and the missing instructions. I want to talk about our purpose. Our purpose in life. And when it comes to our purpose, there are actually two parts. Now, when I talk about purpose, I'm speaking from the belief that none of us are an accident. No matter how many years are between you and your next oldest sibling, you are not an accident. No matter what you were raised to believe all of your life by your brothers and sisters who are 15 and more years older than you, and you're younger than your uncle, you are not an accident. You are not an accident. You are not an accident. See, we've all been designed uniquely by God. We have been chosen and loved by God. We have been rescued by God for a relationship with God through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We have been rescued for relationship with God. That is what we call good news. It's not religion. It is good news because it's what Jesus has done for us. And this is actually part one of our purpose. We have been chosen and rescued for relationship with God. That is part one of your purpose. And if you've never heard that before, or your idea about God, about church, is more around a religious, you can't, you have to, you and a whole bunch of other things, that's not good news. Today, you can know what part one of your purpose is. You have been chosen and rescued by God for relationship with him. And see, though, for Jesus followers, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, so here's where it kind of, our life can actually start to feel like that IKEA piece of furniture, where it's like, man, I'm trying really hard, but it doesn't quite feel right. And it's because often, as a Jesus follower, we know part one. That's why we follow Jesus. But actually, nobody told you there's a part two to your purpose. That's really important, and that's what we're going to look at. And see, part two is what I want to zero in on today. It is your mission. Now, if you're like me at all, have you ever been confused about words like mission, purpose, vision, calling? You know, if you went to Bible school or any other kind of school, or kind of even if you kind of gone certain business routes, you know, you're really focused and you got to write a mission statement for your life. Do you have a vision statement for your life? You got people talking about, do you have a life purpose statement? Are you walking out your calling in life? And you're like, is this a vision? Is this a mission statement? Is this my purpose statement? What's the difference? And, you know, you can get sort of caught up in trying to figure out, like, what's what. That we actually miss the fact that there's a bigger purpose to our life. We actually don't live it out because we're so caught up in, is this a mission or vision or purpose or calling? So to make it easy today, we're going to lump it all in one category, vision, mission, purpose, calling, all of it lumped together in one word called your why. Your purpose is your why. Your mission is your why. Your vision, your calling, it's all the same thing. It's your why. Why you are here on planet Earth. Why you still have breath in your lungs. Why you are alive and in church on a beautiful Sunday morning. Now, if you want to know the purpose of a thing, you got to go back to the creator of the thing. So we're going to go back not only to the creator, but we're going to go back right back to the beginning, to creation. I want to read a bit of the creation recap in Genesis 1:20, starting in verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I think it's kind of interesting. Three times in one sentence, the word created is used. We weren't just the product of evolution. We weren't the product of a maybe. It's God created. He designed you. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air and the sky, or the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. See, this highlights man's original mission, but there's something specific that I really want to zero in on, because there's a part of this section in Scripture that is a clear outline of what our mission is, but it's often overlooked, and that's what I want to focus on today, because in this part, there's a clue that relates to us as to what our why actually is. Genesis 2 is where we get a little bit more of a connection to it. Now, Genesis chapter 2 is a retelling of what happened in Genesis 1, except with a little bit more detail. So, Genesis 2:8, it says, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. God planted a garden in Eden, and he put man in the garden. Now, if you read the rest of Genesis chapter 2, it goes on to describe what Eden was like. It said Eden was filled. It was loaded with all sorts of beautiful trees. They were beautiful to look at. The trees had all sorts of luscious fruit. In other words, there was deliciousness in Eden. It describes a river in Eden that was actually filled with gold. So Eden, it was loaded with beautiful things. It was loaded with luscious, delicious fruit. It had a river with gold in it. And to top it all off, you could run around naked. It doesn't get much better than that in life. Hello. Come on. My husband said, he goes, did you know that there's, I have no idea why this came up, but it was in conversation. He goes, did you know there's a nude beach on the Fort Saskatchewan River? And I'm like, what? Exactly. I'm like, what? And we've had friends that go boating down it, and they kind of came up on it one time. It's like, whoa, are those people, like, really naked? It's like, they're all naked on the beach. In Eden, that was okay. There were only two of them. It's not okay on the Fort Saskatchewan River. Eden was awesome. But here's the thing. Eden was not all of creation. Outside of Eden, it was a totally different story. Let's look back at Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Now, if all of creation was like Eden, why would it need subduing? Think about the word subdue for a minute. I'll give you a good word picture. How many of you have a friend or a family member that has that dog that goes absolutely berserk every time someone comes to visit? I call it the wild, crazy tornado dog. The doorbell rings and it's like, it's running all over the place and it's jumping on you and it jumps on this person. It's going crazy and it's like running all over the place and you're like, would you please subdue your dog? Some of you, maybe it's not the dog, it's their two-year-old. Would you please subdue your child? Come on, how many of you know somebody with a child or a dog like that? It's like, just like they're going crazy. They're out of control. Would you please subdue your kid? Would you please subdue your dog? But if your friend or your family had a nice, quiet, you know, basset hound, it just lays there. The doorbell rings and it's like still sleeping. It's so still, you don't even know if it's real. I've gone to friends that have dogs like these and honest to God, I thought it was a statue. It was so still, it's like, wow, that's like a really realistic statue. And then it kind of opens its eyes. It's like, whoa, that thing is like alive. Eden, peaceful, quiet, beautiful basset hound. The rest of creation, wild, crazy, berserk tornado dog. That needs subduing. Subdue the rest of creation, please. And here we get into a mission. God commissioned humanity, not just Adam and Eve. He commissioned all of humanity with the stewardship and the mission that involved the rest of the planet outside the garden. The instructions again, be fruitful, increase, fill the earth. In other words, Eden is great, but you're not meant to stay there. Subdue it. Rule over it. Eden is great, but the rest of creation needs tending. It needs order. It needs governance. It needs to be subdued. So in other words, God placed humanity in a beautiful garden called Eden as an example of what he wanted the rest of creation to look like. They were never meant to stay in Eden. They were never meant to stay in Eden. He intended that humanity would go out of Eden into creation where it was wild and crazy and tornado, and to subdue it, to rule over it, to bring it into order, to bring governance to it. See, unfortunately, God's plan got interrupted by a thing called the fall. And if you're not familiar with the story, it's in Genesis chapter 3, where God had given man clear instructions about they could eat from every tree except one. Well, what do they do? The enemy comes, and through the voice of a serpent, he tricks them into believing God's withholding from them, and they do exactly what God told them not to do, and they took of the tree, and when they ate, the virus called sin entered the world. Destruction and death entered into all of creation, even more so. It started to come into humanity. But that wasn't part of God's plan. It only interrupted God's timeline. But here's the thing to think about. I wonder if the fall would have actually occurred if man and woman, Adam and Eve, had actually been out on mission. So you know where the tree was that they weren't supposed to eat or even go near? It was in the center of the Garden of Eden. Where was humanity supposed to be? They were supposed to go out and rule over and work and tend and subdue the rest of creation. Instead, they were in the middle hanging out, camping around, having a good old time. I don't know about you, but I get into a lot of trouble and I am open to all sorts of temptation when I am not living on mission. When I'm just chilling back, I just kind of want to take it easy. I just want to kind of hang out. I don't really want to, you know, be purposeful today. I just want to chill. Today, or for the whole summer, for the whole year. See, unfortunately, sometimes we can actually get this mentality, even as the church. We're all about church, but we forget about mission out there. We kind of just come in with our nice 5 and 6 little friends from church, and that's all we hang out with. And we forget there's a world out there that we're supposed to be on mission in working and building and making it look like God's original intended purpose. We need to be in church. That's where we gather. But God's meaning is that we take all of the good stuff we experience in here and we carry it out with us into our world. See, there are two parts to our mission. The first one is grow the family. God's instruction to Adam and Eve was be fruitful, multiply. Now, this was actually more than just go at our kids, do what two naked people in a garden all alone like to do. It was more than that. There was purpose attached to it. And see, God's purpose in multiplying, being fruitful and multiplying, God's purpose was that humanity would actually partner with God in growing his family. See, it wasn't just human babies that were being born. Yes, they were human, they were their babies, but it was more than that. Adam and Eve, they were giving birth to God's children. See, parents, the kids that we have, they're not just our kids. They're not just your kids. They're actually God's kids. They're part of God's family. And if you're here today and you've never heard that you are part of a family, you are part of God's family, that is good news for you. See, you are one of God's children, whether you realize it or not. Even though you think I'm such a sinner, you have no idea what I have done. You have no idea what kind of life. There is no way God would want me as one of his children. Yes, he does. He loves you, and he went to such an extent to bring you out of that. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to die in your place. He loves you. You are one of his kids. We are all God's kids. Some of us that follow Jesus, we know that we're called found kids. But if you don't know that and you're not following Jesus, you're called a lost kid. You're still one of God's kids. And see, part of God's mission we were to partner with God to grow and extend his family. Mankind was meant to keep God's family line going. Look at this. See, your mission or your why is still the same. You and I, our mission, part one, grow God's family, is about being connectors, reconnecting lost kids back to their heavenly father, back to their dad, so that they can have relationship with them. And we do that by connecting them to Jesus Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul, he's writing, he says, you see, the controlling force in our lives is the love of the anointed one, Jesus Christ. He died for us so that we will all live, not just for ourselves, but for him who died and rose from the dead. Therefore, if anyone is united with the Anointed One, that person is a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from our Creator God, who has pursued us and brought us into a restored, healthy relationship with Him through the Anointed. Now look at this next statement. And He has given us the same mission, the ministry of reconciliation. And that word reconciliation means this: to bring others back to Him. We have all been given that ministry, that mission of reconnecting people back to God. That is not just the job of pastors. That is not just the job of super spiritual people. That is not just the job of people who have their life all together. There are no messes and they are perfect. That is a mission of every human being on planet Earth. We're to be connectors. Now, we don't save people. That's God's. He does that. He's the only one that can do it. But what we do is we bring people, we bring others back to Him by connecting them. And the way we connect them to His love is when we serve them out of love. That's one of the ways that we can connect people to their Heavenly Father, when we serve them, when we show them what God is really like, when we tell our story of what Jesus did for us. That's how we connect them back to God. So we don't tell our story to highlight how great we are or how much we kept to our wonderful little plan or how good we kept to our 12-step program. No, we tell our story to highlight how great God is. See, we put the spotlight on Jesus Christ and what He's done. When we tell our story, that's one of the ways that we connect others back to Him. We connect others to Jesus when we live our lives in joy and in hope and in peace and in trust. Even though everything around us might be falling apart, we still have that sense of peace. God, I trust that You're in control. I trust that You're working something great out. And people look and they go, what is with you? All hell is going on around you. And you are just like so chill. And you can say, you know why? I got Jesus. I have my trust in Jesus. That's how we connect them to Him. You know, well, you might be here today and thinking, yeah, but you know what? I really don't have room for this Jesus stuff in my life. I'm actually kind of doing pretty good without Him. I've got a great career. My family is all doing really well. I'm actually pretty fulfilled in life. But here's the secret. Being fulfilled in life is not evidence that you are living out your why. Being fulfilled in life is not evidence that you are living out the purpose for which you were created. Because see, being fulfilled in life is not what Jesus came to give to you and I. Jesus never said, I'm going to come to fulfill your life. I'm not going to come to give you a fulfilled life. He said, I'm going to come to give you an abundant life. A life, and you know what abundant means? Abundant means it is overflowing. There is so much of the life of God in me that I can't contain it. It's not just about me. It's not just about me having this fulfilled life. My life is so full, it's spilling over and it's helping others. It's reaching others. It's showing others how great Jesus Christ is. There is so much of my life, I want to give it out to others so that they can connect to a God who loves them. That is what our lives were meant to be. Here's part two of the why. Part one of your why: grow the family. Part two: grow the garden. Remember Eden? Beautiful, wonderful, luscious fruit, gold in the rivers. Outside of Eden, needed serious help. And see, that's what God was referring to when He commissioned humanity: fill the earth, rule, and subdue it. See, God's purpose was that through humanity, through you and I, that the world would continue to be brought into order. See, it didn't just get into disorder because of the fall. It's so important we catch that, because we think everything is a mess because of the fall. Well, yes and no. It was actually kind of in chaos before the fall, because Genesis 1, 26 to 28 comes before Genesis 3, where the fall happened. And so there was chaos and disorder that was not part of fallen creation. And so God's original mission for us was that his world would start to function the way God intended it to function, that it would have order, that we would rule over it, that it would be the place where God would hang out with his kids. That was his original intention, and it stays the same. God's desire hasn't changed. His desire is that the world would be healed. And see, it takes anybody with eyes and a brain to understand that our world is definitely in need of some subduing. It is out of order. It is broken. It is a lot. Our world right now isn't a lot different than what creation was outside of the garden. Wild, crazy tornado dog. Hello, can we agree? There's a lot of things that are berserk. There's a lot of things that need subduing. But the way we bring that subduing is not through anger or force or retaliation or manipulation or any of those other things that order and subduing is usually thought of. See, when my kids were really little, and parents, if you got little ones, you know this, or if you have like, you know, if you're single actually and want to have children, I'll give you a tip. This is going to be a great parenting tip. How many of you remember when your kids were little? When they get to that stage of like self-awareness and like they start exerting their will and they start like they have the freak out like in the middle. It's like, no! And they're like, they're yelling and screaming and they're arching their back and they're like, you know, they're still small enough that you can pick them up. I remember when that would happen, the louder and madder I got, the worse it would all escalate. It's like adding gasoline to an already erupting fire. It just gets worse. But you know what would calm him down? Here you go, singles. Here's your tip. You pick that child up, and you wrap your arms around it really tight. And in a very quiet voice, you whisper in their ears, "It's okay. Mom's got you. I'm here. Calm down." And they would start to calm down. They'd thrash, and but all of a sudden, soon the fight would go out of them. And peace would come over them. And you know what? That is a picture of how we subdue the wild, crazy berserkness of our world. See, our world doesn't need another campaign about what's wrong with it. Our world doesn't need another Facebook post about what's wrong. Our world needs firm arms of love, wrapping around it, whispering, "It's okay. God's got you. He loves you. He's with you. It's going to be all right, not because you figured out how to make a great life, but because of what Jesus has done." And see, how do we practically wrap our arms around a world? You're like, "Oh, how do you do that?" You know how you do it? This is how you do it. You look for ways to serve others daily. You look for ways to be the encouraging voice among your friends and not the gossip. Or to be the voice of praise and encouragement instead of the negative voice of positivity or negativity and complaining. You pray for someone going through a rough season instead of, "Oh, wow, sorry for you." You work at your job as if God were your boss. You be a friend at school or even at the office to that person that's always by themselves. You forgive and you show grace instead of bitterly telling everybody why, how you were wronged and why you deserve to pay back. You use your talents and abilities and strengths not just to make your own life better, but to actually help somebody else. You build a business that will raise finance for the kingdom of God and not just create a better life for you and your family and your grandkids. You be vulnerable and you share your story about what God's done in your life. You share your story about going through a rough spot and how God helped you for somebody else who's going through the same rough thing. That's how we put arms of love around our world. That's how we say, "Listen, you're going to make it. It's okay." See, we get too caught up in the specifics of what is my calling. I wish God would just reveal his purpose. I wish God would just tell me what I'm supposed to do. What's my calling in life? We get so caught up in our calling and we miss what's right underneath our nose. opportunities to love and to grow God's family and to grow the garden, to bring God's love and to heal the world right under our nose. What can you do today that will in some way grow God's family and heal the world? See, the reason or why we make it so difficult, because we kind of narrow it down to this really, this it's almost like I got the tightrope of my calling. I got to get it just right. And if I don't just get it just right, just get the call of God, like my purpose just right, I got to figure out what I'm supposed to do. If I don't get it just right, I'm going to miss it. Parents, we kind of put this on our kids. What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, no, you can't be all five of those things. You got to pick one. Come on, we do it without intending it. But see, God's purpose isn't just this tightrope that you just got to get it just right. If you don't, you miss it. God's purpose is more like a multi-lane highway. It doesn't matter what lane you're in. What matters is the destination. See, the destination we pursue is the same destination for all of us. The destination is a person named Jesus Christ. And see, when you pursue Jesus, you can live out your why no matter what your lane is. Your lane in this season might be, I am a student, I am working three jobs to make my way through university, or I am working really hard just to pass high school. And you know what? You can still serve God in that why. Your lane might be diapers and puke and all sorts of messiness in this stage. The lane might be a lot less sleep than what you're used to, but you can still serve God in your why. You might be in a transition season between leaving a career, feeling like I'm supposed to start a business, but it hasn't quite panned out yet. You can still live out your why in that lane if you are pursuing Jesus Christ. And see, as we get to the destination, Jesus, the specifics become more clear. It's not like we just have to like, have to be content with just whatever in life. Well, yes and no. You can choose joy in whatever lane you're in. And see, when you pursue Jesus, the specifics start to get clearer of what he's called you to. See, someone once said, when you pursue the person, the placement will make itself evident. So many times we pursue the placement. We're looking for our place in the world. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be? You know what? We get it all backwards and we miss the person. I see, when we pursue the person, all the other stuff becomes clearer. Can we stand, church? I want to pray this first prayer that we're going to pray. It's a prayer for any here today who you actually haven't been walking in part one of your purpose, which is knowing and receiving and putting your trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you. God has rescued you through Jesus Christ for relationship with him. You actually can't live out your purpose apart of relationship with Jesus Christ. And if I could ask everyone to close your eyes, bow your heads, and we're going to pray a prayer out loud that says, it's basically a prayer just saying, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I'm going to be a follower of you today and every day of my life. I'm going to pursue you. You are going to be my destination. I'm going to live for you. And I want us all to pray out loud together. Can we pray this prayer? Just say, Jesus, thank you for everything that you've done for me. Thank you for dying on the cross and taking my punishment, the penalty for my sin. Thank you that when you died and rose again, you rose a new life so that I could have a new start. And I say yes to the gift of life, the gift of salvation you're offering me today. I put my trust in you. I live for you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you today and the rest of the days of my life. Thank you for a new start today. Amen. Amen. God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. God, I just thank you for the people in this room. And you know what? Even if you're watching online praying that prayer, it can be as real by yourself as if you're with a crowd of people. But I want to pray one more prayer before we turn and just transition here. I want to pray for anywhere you really have been struggling with this thing of my why. and you felt like you're kind of in a transition place or just kind of in a no man's land, and you're just like, this has really been a burdensome thing. If I could just, everybody close your eyes, and if that's relates to you, just lift your hand up. I just want to pray specifically. I'm not going to embarrass anybody or call anybody out. I just want to agree with you. Father, I thank you. God, you see the hands. You see every life situation in intimate detail. And God, I thank you that you are close to each person. Right now, God, you are closer than what they might think or feel. And God, right now, I just break off just the frustration. God, I break off even where it feels like they're just, it's like the, it's been that spinning tornado crazy season. God, I break off just that, just the heaviness that goes along with what and why and the anxiety and fear. And God, I just speak a replacing of all of that with perfect peace. Jesus, would you amplify your person, the Prince of Peace, to each one here? God, let your peace settle on. Let your peace come in and replace all of the anxiety, all of the stress. And God, I just speak peace to people today and loose a whole new measure of joy. Father, to run in this lane with joy as they live out their why in you. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're always encouraged to hear about what God is doing in your life, so if you have a story to share, send us an email at amen@celebrationedmonton.com. If you'd like more information about Celebration Church, or if you'd like to give online, check out celebrationedmonton.com.